Hi, and welcome to another edition of Visions. Today we continue our special discussion around COVID-19. It's an issue that affects and impacts people all around the world. The elderly, people with non-communicable diseases, young people, people who are considered poor, vulnerable, and of course, people with disabilities. And today, to continue this discussion, will be Pero Holloway, a colleague of mine, a good friend of mine, who has been on this program before. So he's no stranger to you. And like me, he's visually impaired. So welcome to the program again, Perry.
Thank you, Yudli, and greetings to everybody, and everybody's being safe, I'm sure.
Yes, that's one of the messages that is being pushed throughout the world, particularly in countries in the Caribbean region, for persons to remain at home and be safe. So, Perry, I would let you share your thoughts about the whole COVID-19, and we can follow the take the discussion from there.
Well, thank you, Yudli. Well, let me start out by saying it is not only my thoughts, but it's the thought of, or the opinion of, disabled people globally. The thing is that, and I call this program the theme, Feeling Left Behind, because that sentiment is being echoed throughout the world by disabled persons. Now, we would have started out hearing from different ministries across the world, not only Barbados, that the most vulnerable is the elderly. But I do say that the elderly are vulnerable, but persons with disabilities are most vulnerable. And I'm hoping that this program will seek to explain that and to make people understand the situation, the unique situation that everyone is being placed in at this point in time, in your opening statement. But persons with disabilities are confronted with a unique challenge at this point in time. And I think that it is imperative that we highlight that so that the different ministries, agencies, the right plan that is being put in place considers these things.
Well, I quite agree with you, Perry, because many persons have called me and they have been calling various organizations, various agencies, you know, just demonstrating some of their own concerns, their own fears as parents, as people with disabilities themselves, as siblings of individuals who have disabilities. And that's natural. That's something that will happen all around us. So it's, as you correctly said, it's just a matter of let us have the conversation, let us look at how we can help alleviate some of those fears and concerns and guide people into either doing things to help themselves remain safe and protected, as well as guiding them towards agencies that can assist with some of their own concerns and needs.
Normally when persons with disabilities speak out on various issues or try to advocate for specific rights, you tend to get a reaction from ordinary people. I mean, we say ordinary disabled. You tend to get the impression that, well, there's only a few of you. And so I want to paint a picture that we have roughly 50% of the world's population living with some kind of disability. So that is roughly 1 billion persons. And this is highlighted by the World Health Organization. So it is not my quote. It is the agency that is leading the fight in containing the spread of COVID-19. Now, 1 billion people is not a small amount of people. That's a whole lot. and the fact that they are being left behind, or we feel that we are being left behind because of the system or the systems that are being put in place is not considering our unique situation, means that what we are seeing in this program needs to be put on the topmost agenda of any containment or trying to stop the spread of this virus in the time that we are living in now.
Well, definitely, ordinarily, when we, as you said, when we discuss disability issues, it is still not priority for many agencies or as a country. And, you know, we need to change that around and see everybody, each citizen, as valuable. Therefore, all plans, all discussions take into consideration not only the rights, but the needs of persons with disabilities, the elderly, persons who are extremely vulnerable because of their age. And sometimes we think of just ageism around persons who are older, but there's also some measure of ageism towards young people as well, young women who have lots of children. So, you know, we have to really be considerate. And as we try to plan to include all.
Well, let's break it down, because you know, we want people to understand the practical facts, the practical normal day to day issues that confront us as it relates to COVID-19. So we are hearing the ads on the radio daily. Wash your hands, clean down surfaces, social distancing. Now, when you take all of those things to the average person, they may even sound a bit hard for them. Don't touch your face. Cough into your elbow. We hear these things daily. And these are the suggestions that are being told to us that keeps us safe. So let's break it down. Don't touch your face. Now, a person with a disability or with certain types of disability, let me go back a bit. Now, it is suggested that a person touch their face over 300 times a day. I will suggest that a disabled person or some persons or with disabilities may touch their face more than that, depending on what disability they have. They may be intellectually challenged and have, you know, a fixation on touching their face.
Yes.
They may have involuntary movements where they cannot control where their hands go.
Uh-huh.
You have visually impaired and blind person who see through their hands. How can I not touch something? I cannot get out the bus without touching the rails, because I use the seats in the bus as a guide. I use the rails on the side of the bus door as a guide. I have to touch the door knob to see, to feel where I'm going. So these little intricacies has to be taken into consideration when we consider the practical aspects of good hygiene. Many disabled persons cannot practice personal hygiene because they need assistance. How does social distancing impact on that? Because I cannot be socially distancing myself from my caregiver. She may be isolated or self-isolating or whatever, and therefore leaves me vulnerable. So when you take a lot of these things into consideration, you have to look at the practical application as it relates to this specific set of citizens in our country. And I dare say that we are behind the cart and not in front of it, because we are now trying to say to the authorities, well, look, these things may not apply as you specifically saying them, or they may not apply adequately to persons with disabilities because of our unique set of circumstances.
Well, yes, that is very true. And at the same time, we're also acknowledging that while we speak and use the term persons with disability, this goes across the spectrum as well to some elderly people, some young people. So, you know, we have to, as we keep saying, as we keep pushing our message, include persons with disabilities. Let us be at the table to have this type of discussion that will again inform decisions so that the messaging continues to reach everybody and, you know, give them a good indication as to the deeper message of what you as an individual or a family need to do to include persons with disabilities to be safe and to be very hygienic.
Now, I want to reiterate here that when we, the disabled community, advocate for inclusiveness in the fight of COVID-19, we're not saying that we are excluding the elderly, because, as like you said, they're elderly persons who are disabled. But if you consider the elderly as opposed to the disabled, if you dare say you want to separate the two, elderly persons who may or may not have a disability are catered for persistently. You have geriatric institution, senior citizens home, a vibrant organization that caters to person over a certain age. And we know that a person who is elderly is suggested to be that because of a certain age group. So it is easy to prioritize these persons, even though in that priority, those set of persons that are elderly may have disability. What is not covered are those persons under what we would consider an elderly age. And I am cautioned to say what elderly age is, because I may be very much soon there myself.
Well, it varies, because under the Barbados Association of Retired Persons, BART, it would be age 50, but generally you would go around 65, because that is the benchmark used for retirement, which has now gone up to age 67. But I think your point is very valid, because there are lots of agencies where you will find the elderly.
So it is a campaign, those ones. It is a campaign and find out. I mean, we know who are over 65. You know, we go and find them. The census, the population census, it adequately covers that. But what it doesn't cover are the vulnerable ones with the same issues that the elderly are having, as outlined by the Ministry of Health, as what would be considered those are most vulnerable. Those with communicable diseases, those with respiratory symptoms, with, you know, a lot of disabled persons have those, and they're not over 65. So it is hard to capture those people, because they don't fall under the cover of the elderly.
And in addition to that, as you were pointing out, the elderly have several institutions or agencies where they can gather. So you would have the homes, the nursing homes, a whole set of, as I said, agencies, where while now with the persons with disabilities, it's a bit harder to locate them, because there are not very many agencies where the persons with disabilities gather. So outside of the NGOs, the non-governmental organizations, like the Barbados Council for the Disabled and its affiliates, then where do you find the disabled gathering to do training, to do recreational activities, to do leisure activities, right? So it's a bit more of a challenge to identify where people with disabilities are. unless some of them self-identify to the various agencies, like the National Disability Unit, the Ministry of People Empowerment and Elder Affairs, the Barbados Council for the Disabled and its affiliates, right? So it's a bit of a challenge, and added, compounding that challenge, is the fact that a lot of persons with disabilities and some family members do not want to be identified or labeled as having a disability.
Now, somebody mentioned recently, I think it was on a call-in program, that there's a level of mistrust towards people who you see, because we don't know who has the virus, so we are all practicing, you know, social distancing.
Well, no. I rather use the term physical distancing, because social distancing for me connotes some deeper issues in terms of isolation and you know, really pushing vulnerability to a different level. So the physical distancing, where you're asked to stay a meter away from your closest person, I rather use the term physical distancing.
The thing is that because of this mistrust from the physical distancing, as you put it, we disabled already face physical distancing. We already face social distancing.
Uh-huh.
We already face stigma and discrimination.
Correct.
Now, the psychology of it is that you are being told, be aware of the person next to you, because there may very well be the person who have the virus.
And while that is true, you still have to be wise and sensible about how we are moving forward.
Now, when you consider that many people, I'm not going to say the majority, many people do react to persons with disabilities in that way anyhow. We ain't going near them because of whatever. How can this situation help the predicament that we are already in? Because we are isolated, we are stigmatized, and whatever. This doesn't help. And when you put the fact that they say, well, be your brother's keeper, how can persons with disabilities garner the social support that we are being told, well, you know, be your brother's keeper? Many people were not being disabled people's brother keeper in the first place. So with this, if you look at that picture, you can see there's an uphill struggle. Because of that, we don't have the time to orient persons on stigma and discrimination against persons with disabilities right now, because we're in a fluid crisis. So what is necessary is the systems that are being put in place that are supposed to suggest to us and help us to contain the spread has to be now customized or tailored for persons with disabilities, because we would not be able to operate within the present system that is being put in place adequately. Now, I'm not going to say that every disabled person will be disadvantaged by how things are going now, because there are persons with disabilities who are mobile, can get around. But
and who have the support.
Well.
They have the family
support.
They have some community support. They have the church support. There are individuals with disabilities who really do have a good measure of support. And we applaud that. We welcome that, because more of that is needed right now in this crisis situation.
The WHO and the UN agency spoke to this in an article on the 19th of March, where Lindsay Lee, who is a technical officer with the World Health Organization with respect for persons with disabilities, suggested that disabled persons are feeling left behind, because in the outset of COVID-19 and the health response, disabled persons were not adequately considered as all of this began. So we are now trying to play catch up and that she's suggesting that agencies, governments, health organizations have to now put the disabled on their agenda specifically. So she's suggesting that we're not having a blanket statement that covers everybody, because persons with disabilities form into a unique category of vulnerable persons.
Well, Perry, one of the other challenges is that as I listened to an online discussion facilitated by the Pan-American Health Organization, PAHO, there was a lady, Jennifer Johnson, out of the U.S., representing people, she's the deputy commissioner, relating to disability issues for the government. She spoke to the fact that there were persons with disabilities in the U.S. that were not receiving adequate medical attention. And then the Latin America Regional Network, they also spoke to the fact that lots of people with disabilities were also being denied medical care. And while our situation here has not developed into that serious crisis medical situation, again, we're just raising the awareness so that individuals recognize that while we are speaking to the issues surrounding people with disabilities, that presently in other countries, some pretty close to the Caribbean region, that individuals with disabilities are not receiving the high level of medical attention that is required to help them overcome and recover from the coronavirus.
I can add to that in Australia, the government has systematically stopped the financial services for persons with disabilities because they were freeing up financial resources to cover the, you know, the COVID response.
Yeah.
Now we don't have that situation in Barbados, and we must take our hats off to the ministry and the government of Barbados in really trying to soft cushion the impact to those persons who receive assistance. So I'm not speaking to that part of it, because I'm not going to say that things are not being done. Because one of the recommendations from the International Disability Alliance was that the information that's being put out there must be in an accessible format. And
we really have to applaud our government for doing that,
because we would have seen the language interpreter, on every single announcement.
And the Government Information Service have ensured that information is available via WhatsApp, which is a very good feature that is used very heavily by persons who are deaf and hard of hearing.
So we you know, I don't want to paint a picture that disabled persons are falling down, you know, or we are systematically being...
No, but we are trying to be a bit proactive, because these are such uncertain times and we do not know how the coronavirus, the COVID-19, will, you know, take off or take, you know, really spread out in the country. We have to also be helping people to be a bit more mindful. The messages, keep safe, keep up good hygiene, wash your hands, and really take care. And that is the message that we really want to encourage persons with disabilities, their families, to embrace. And at the same time, for all agencies working to really combat the spread of the coronavirus in Barbados, to really be considerate when we think of people who are very vulnerable.
What I must say here is that the disabled persons in Barbados and throughout the Caribbean, and I stop there, not to say internationally, are some of the most poor, because most of us we don't have jobs. The social services assistance are limited. And for some, that's the only financial support they have, that they have, that they get.
And I must add, Perry, that one of the bonuses for a small island like Barbados is that we do not have to travel large or long distances to access some of the services, as in some of our other Caribbean neighboring islands. They have to drive for maybe 2 to 3 hours, you know, to really access some of the facilities that are available and services that are available to them. So, like, I quite agree with your point that we really need to take some time and appreciate what is happening and be a bit more considerate. That's one of the reasons why I've been reaching out to lots of my friends and colleagues via Facebook and otherwise, wherever possible, and you can give assistance, whether it's just making a phone call to, you know, beat off the loneliness that an individual may be experiencing, taking a meal, taking some groceries, however or whatever you can do, make the effort to do it, because you may be saving someone else's life. So, Perry, time is really catching up with us, and I hope that this program has really helped other individuals to understand some of the deep concerns that people with disabilities do have and may not be voicing publicly, but are still sharing.
I would want to say that we, the disabled, are not saying that the guidelines that are being put in place are wrong or are not what they should be. We are saying that the guidelines that are being put in place has to be catered, and we must be considered in how those guidelines are implemented because of our unique circumstances. So I would say to the disabled persons, be safe, follow the guidelines. And I'm throwing it out there to the Ministry of Health, whoever that feel that they can meet us halfway, that they can come and help us identify those areas as persons with disabilities that we may need to enhance as we go about our daily lives living with the COVID response.
Well, thank you very much, Perry, for sharing with us today in helping to really examine the COVID-19 a bit deeper. And I want to say once again, thank you very much to the Government of Barbados, the Ministry of People and Empowerment and Elder Affairs, and the Ministry of Health, especially for reaching out to our public, our society, and encouraging us to really remain safe and, you know, really exercise good hygiene. You have been listening to Visions, the program that focuses on people with disabilities, their issues, and what is really affecting our community. Today, my special guest was Mr. Perry Holloway, disability advocate and a person with a disability himself. Remember, you can contact me on 1-246-269-9660. You can also WhatsApp me on that number or via Starcom at 1-246-430-7300. And, of course, you can listen to this and past episodes of Vision by going to VOB929.com website. Look for the podcast link, scroll down, find Visions, click on that, and you're there. And you can also email me, thank you very much for your email, at visionsbarbados@gmail.com. That is visionsbarbados@gmail.com. So until next week, do be safe.